Well, hey, church, how are you guys doing this morning? All right, good. Supposed to be a good week. Supposed to be hot. I know some of you guys like that. But yeah, we're excited for this week. Again, like what Mike was saying, the steel is going up this week, and so it all got delivered on one truck. We're like, that's it. That's the building. That's all. What's going on here? And they were like, yeah, they packed it nice, I guess. So next Sunday when you come here, it's going to look a little bit different. So that's exciting. We're pumped for that. All right, when I was in high school, me and my buddies, we once in a while would hang out with like an older group of people. And when I say older, I mean like mid-20s, okay? And so these people that we'd hang out with once in a while, I mean, they were like, to us, it was like the mature people. We were like, oh man, like we're gonna hang out with them tonight. It's gonna be sweet. Like, you know, like they want us, like that type of thing. And one time I remember we were with one of these guys and he was like, hey guys, if you want tonight, my wife and I, he was married. He's like, my wife and I, we're having a bunch of people over. And so you guys are, you know, if you guys want to come, you're welcome to come. And for us, again, we're like 16, 17-year-old kids. We're like, oh, man, like they're inviting us? Like, man, they must really, like, we are some cool high school kids, all right, that the, you know, post-college kids. And to us, that was like a huge deal. We're like, man, they're out of college. Like they're getting started with their lives, you know, like they got married and they got careers and like they want to hang out with us. Like we must be some pretty special people. And so he's like, yeah, you guys can come over. And he said, but we're doing something different tonight. Tonight, we're doing something that we're calling a cereal party. And we're like, what the heck is a cereal party? He's like, well, basically, you just bring some cereal, and we provide the milk, and we're just all going to eat cereal. Like, that's what we're doing. And to us, we heard that. We're like, man, that's what the cool kids are doing today? Like, cereal party, like a real-life cereal party we're invited to, you know? And we're thinking of that. Like, that's what the mature people do, you know, with their get-togethers, because we've never been to something like this before. And so we're like, okay, yeah, we're in. And so we went to the store after that. There's a few hours in between. The invite and the actual thing. And so we went to the store and we're like, you know, I remember walking down the aisles, we're like trying to figure out like, okay, you know, what do mature people eat for cereal? You know what I mean? It's not like we're showing up with Fruity Pebbles and Lucky Charms. You know what I mean? That's kid stuff, okay? That's the good stuff, but that's also the kid stuff. And so we're like, you know, picking out the Raisin Bran and the Total, you know, and the Special K stuff. And we got our Wheaties and we're going and we go to this guy's house. And we're a little bit late, all right? So everybody else is already there. They're, like, getting started with the whole cereal party thing. And we knock on the door, and his wife answered, okay? And we could tell, as soon as she answered the door, all right, just by the look on her face, that we're like, we are not invited here. And she looks at us, and she says, oh, you guys are here. And we're like, yeah. And one of my buddies, he spoke up. He's like, yeah, your husband, we'll call him Dave, okay, for right now. He's like, yeah, Dave invited us. And she's like, Dave invited you. Okay. And everybody can hear this. It was so awkward. And she was like, all right, come on in. And then she said, I guess we'll have to find some more bowls, you know. And sure enough, we walk in to this house. And it wasn't just like, you know, like their table in the dining room. They had rented tables, or they had gotten more tables, and they had this huge like spread that was like from their dining room all the way through to their family room. There's a bunch of people there, and everybody had like a spot on the table with their bowl and their spoon, and they had all the cereal out, and it was just this huge thing. And we didn't have enough. There was not enough seats for us because she wasn't expecting us, and so it was just like, I guess we'll have to find some seats. And then everybody's trying to like, here, you sit on this stool. Like, there's no more chairs in the house. It was just so awkward. It was the most awkward, uncomfortable meal that I've ever had in my entire life. And it wasn't just awkward for us. It was awkward for everybody there because everybody had heard, everybody knows that me and my little group of friends, that we were not invited to this thing in a sense. We were invited, but we weren't invited, that type of thing. And we were there anyway. And so it's just one of those things where you know, you go somewhere and it's just awkward. It's not maybe what you thought, and you're just like, I got to get out of here as soon as I can. We've all been in a situation like that. That's how this was, where you just stay long enough so it's not, like, super weird, and then you try to get out of there as fast as you can. And so that's what we did. We ate, like, our half bowl of cereal, and we're like, nah, you can keep the Raisin Bran, you know. And we're, you know, we're, like, making excuses like, oh, I got 17, I got a curfew, you know, I know it's only 7:30, but yeah, mom's going to want me home, so I better go, you know, it's that type of thing. We're just like, whatever we can do to get out of that moment. As most of you know, we have been going through the book of Luke over the last few months, and Luke is his account of Jesus' life. And last week we talked about, we started to look at how Jesus got invited to a dinner at a religious leader's house. And it was one of those dinners, right, that I had kind of experienced. It was one of those dinners where it was everybody there felt so uncomfortable. Everybody there felt so awkward, and it wasn't because of the host, like what I experienced. It was because of one of the guests, this dude named Jesus. And if you remember how that all goes down, we're going to finish up exactly what happens at this dinner, okay? So this is like part two. Jesus wasn't done yet. And but if you remember last week, exactly some of the things that Jesus did, if you remember, the first thing that he does is he breaks one of their religious rules, okay? They have this rule that they had actually adopted from the Old Testament. The Old Testament says you need to take one day a week, and you need to fully rest, right? Which is a great rule, right? A lot of us here, this is just not how we do things, but it is how we're supposed to do things. We're supposed to work hard 6 days a week, and we're supposed to fully rest one day a week. That's the rhythm that God has designed our lives for. And so they took that from the Old Testament. They're like, okay, we got one day. They picked Saturday, and it's like, Saturday, we are not to do any work. But then they made all these rules about what could or couldn't be considered as work. And so one of the things that they had that they said, oh, this is work, is you weren't allowed to heal anybody. You weren't allowed to help anybody physically. And so for them, this was like a really big deal. And so here's Jesus. He happened to be sitting across from a guy who was like all messed up. I mean, he was like swollen and all kinds of stuff. And Jesus heals the guy on a Saturday. And this was like a really, really big deal for them. And it may not be like a big deal to us, but for them, it was huge. It was completely against everything in their cultures. And if you think about it, the religious leaders, once he does this, they don't know what to think. Right? They're just like, on one hand, Jesus just did a miracle before their very eyes. I mean, here's this guy who is messed up, and then Jesus completely heals him, and they see it, like, physically. Like, they can see the difference in him, and they had never seen anything like that before. I mean, the dude was jacked up, right? And on the other hand, here's Jesus. He just broke one of their religious rules because he healed on a Saturday, and you can't do that. And so some of them are astonished, and then the others are offended, and Jesus knows it, but he's not done. Then Jesus basically kind of lectures them and tells them that the religious rules are so dumb. And they're like, what? And then Jesus watches all the people as they're getting to the best spots of the table. Everybody's kind of, you know, making their way, you know, in a nice way. But inside, they're like, I got to get the best seat to the table. And then Jesus kind of, he addresses the entire group. He addresses the entire crowd that's at this dinner. And he basically says, hey, your hearts are all about you. Like, you guys are all messed up. He addresses the guests, and he offends all of them. And then, right, Jesus wants to say something else. And my guess is that at this point, and he's already told a couple stories, and he's basically, again, telling everybody, hey, you guys are super selfish. You guys are all about you. And my guess is that at this point, the disciples are, like, nudging him if they're there. We don't know if they're there or not. Luke doesn't say anything about them. But I'm guessing they're just like, hey, Jesus, don't do it. Don't do it. And Jesus is like, nah, I got something else. And they're like, no, Jesus, these guys are, like, influential. These guys can help us. All right, we want these guys on our team. And Jesus is like, yeah, I think he just kind of winked at him. He's like, watch this. And then he addresses the host. And he turns to the host, and this is the guy whose table Jesus is sitting at. And he turns to him and he says, hey, the next time that you host a dinner, he says, don't invite these people. Can you imagine being there for this? It's just so uncomfortable. He says, yeah, don't invite these people, because what you're doing, host, is you're only inviting them so that they will invite you to their stuff. That's the only reason why you're inviting them. In fact, he's saying you're not hosting the dinner out of the generosity of your heart. You're actually hosting the dinner to advance you. In fact, he's saying this whole dinner, if you dig down below surface level, he's saying this whole dinner is all about you. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been there, sitting at that table? All right, this is all that stuff that we talked about last week. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Jesus has offended them all. All right, every single one. And it is silent. Nobody knows what to say. All right, everybody is uncomfortable. We've all been there before. And then some guy at the table, this is where we left off last week, some guy sitting at the table, he breaks the silence. And he says, well, blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Okay? He just spats this out. And everybody's just like looking at him like, really? You know, we'll call him Larry. They're like, Larry, are you serious? You know, they're like, he's saying basically, Jesus, heaven is going to be sweet. Can't wait for heaven. It's going to be awesome. He's one of those people, one of those guys who like feel really uncomfortable with extended periods of silence. Okay, some of you guys are these people. Okay, and so you like have to fill the silence with words no matter what. And you don't even know what words, you don't know what kind of words. It doesn't really matter. You're just like, I just got to fill the silence. And so you kind of ramble on. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right. That's this guy. And so that's what he does. He's like, yep, heaven's going to be sweet. By the way, can I just point out, he is a lot like us in the fact that he assumes that he's got a seat in heaven. Right? He assumes that he's going to be there. And so Jesus uses this opportunity to teach them. And he does this by telling a story. And what he's going to do, and this is what I want you guys to understand, do not miss this, is he is going to describe what heaven is like. And he's going to describe it, I'll tell you straight up, he's going to describe it as a party. He's saying heaven is kind of like a party, which is kind of funny because I don't know if you're like me. Growing up in church, I kind of viewed heaven as, I grew up thinking like, I'm going to die, I'll go to heaven, I'm going to look at God. Like, I think that's what I just do forever in heaven. Or we view heaven as like this place where we all want to go, right? Nobody doesn't want to go to heaven because the alternative is hell. And so we're like, yeah, if I got to pick between these two, I'll pick in heaven, all right? But for many of us, if we're super honest with ourselves, we're just not that excited about getting there because the question that we ask is like, what are we going to do for eternity, all right? Like, what's that going to look like? Like, forever, in case you didn't know, is a long time, okay? And so we have this image in our minds of us like sitting on a cloud. We got some like robe thing on and maybe a harp or two, you know, and we're just like singing or whatever we do, humming, I don't know. And we kind of view it maybe as like eternal choir practice, something like that, where it's just like, this is just what I do. And if you're honest with yourself, you're like, you know, this is how you feel. We don't actually say this, but we're like, God, you know, I'd kind of rather just stay in Tiffin. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that sounds better than that. It's this idea that we have that's like, I'm just going to worship God forever. And we have this image of like a church service. And we're like, okay, so these are my options. Like, this is what I got when I die. I got like hell. Don't want to go there. And then I got like church service forever. And we're like, oh, no, they kind of sound similar, you know? It's just like, I don't know. But here's Jesus. I mean, here's Jesus. Jesus is saying, you got it all wrong, man. All right, you got this wrong. All right? No. Picture heaven like a party. That's what he says. He says, picture it like this. All right? Let's say a man was giving a large banquet, okay, or a party. And he invited many. Now, this would have been a normal thing back then, all right, because everybody at that table would have known exactly how this process worked because they're all at a party, okay? They're all at a dinner. So they had all experienced this very thing, the invite process, which I'll get to in a second. They've all experienced this with the party that they are actually at this moment. And so back then, what they would do when they were hosting a party or a dinner or whatever it might have been, all right, they would send out an invitation like a month before or, you know, many, many weeks before. And on that invitation, there would not be a time. It'd be something super general, like, hey, just want to let you guys know, I'm throwing a party, I'm throwing a dinner, you know, one of these 2 days, a few weeks later. And so put it on your calendar. It's kind of one of those things that we view like a save the date type thing for like a wedding. Like, save these dates, all right, because I'm throwing a party and it's going to be sweet and you are going to want to come. And the reason why they did that without putting times or anything like that is they didn't have any stoves or refrigerators or, you know, sometimes even get like an animal or something that they were going to eat. Like, that would be difficult. And so they never knew what time everything would be done until it was done. And so once the food was ready and once they had all the arrangements done, then what the host would do is at that hour, the host would send out the servants to go get all the invited people. Okay, so all the people that would work under the host would all go out and they would all invite the people back. And so that's what's happening here. And everybody who's sitting at the table, as Jesus is telling the story, they all totally understand this. And so the party is planned, the invites are sent, the host is putting in the work, he's getting ready, and the host can't wait for people to show up. He says, and at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who were invited. So he sends the servants out. He's like, go get my people. And so they go and they say, come, because everything is now ready, all right? Steaks on the grill, the coolers are filled with ice and drinks, and we're all ready for a good time, so you should come. But, he says, without exception, all the people who had accepted the first invitation, he says, they all begin to make excuses. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm assuming we all got that family member, or maybe it's a friend, who you make, like, plans with, and they're all, like, all about the plans, but then you know that there's a pretty good chance that they will back out last minute. You know that guy? Okay? We all got that guy somewhere in our friend, somewhere within our realm. And they're super flaky, okay? Like, oh, yeah, I'll go. And usually they're super excited about the thing, like, oh, yeah, we should do this. They're, like, adding stuff in. Oh, and we could do that, we could do that. But then when the time comes, like, they don't show up. Like, they don't go. And they usually, almost always, I mean, they have some sort of an excuse as to why they just can't make it. That's these people. He says, so they begin to make these excuses about why they can't go to the party. He says, the first one said to him, he says, well, I would love to go, but I've just bought a field and I must go out and see it. I got some land. I need to go out and see this land. All right, I've made this kind of this huge business transaction, so I need to really take care of that first. And so I ask you to excuse me, please and thank you. And then another said, he says, well, you know, I would love to go to the party, but, you know, right now, today, it's just not a good day because I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, all right, and I'm going to try them out. So I just got this thing. Picture us, we aren't buying yoke of oxen, okay, but, like, I just got this boat or this camper or the, you know, jet skis or whatever it might be for you. And I've just bought some of this stuff, and I'm going to try them out. And so, you know, if you would, like, I ask you to excuse me. And then another said, he says, well, I just got married. Okay? It's interesting because when you get married, like, all of us men know this excuse. When you get married, there's one kind of side bonus that you get along with all the many other bonuses, okay, out there. And that is that you get a free excuse that you can use on anything you don't want to do, right? What do we say? When we don't want to do something, someone asks us and we're like, well, I'm going to have to check my wife with that. You know, I'll check with my wife on that. Right? I would love to, okay, but I'm pretty sure my wife's got some plans for us that day. Like, we don't do anything, right? This is not how we answer anything unless it's something that we don't want to do. So just so you know, ladies or other guys or whoever you are, all right, if you're asking a guy to do something and that's the excuse he gives you, he doesn't want to do it, okay? It's just the truth. And he's just using his wife to get out of it. You've done it before, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do it all the time. Now it's going to mess you up because I just told you a secret. Okay? So that's what this guy says. This guy's just like, I'm married. You know I can't go. All right? I got to stay home and do the dishes or whatever, you know, she's got him doing. He says, therefore, I am unable to come. And so the servant came back and reported these things to his master. The servant comes back and is like, hey, man, I got bad news. Like, everybody, you know, everybody that said that they were coming, he's like, nobody wants to come, all right? Everybody, they all got other things going on, and nobody's coming. And so here's Jesus. Think about it. Let's step out of this story for just a second. Here's Jesus. He's describing heaven, and he's saying heaven's like this sweet party, but many will make excuses and ultimately bail on me is what Jesus is saying. Now, that should get you thinking. I don't know about you. That got me thinking this week a lot. How do you know you're not one of these guys? Like, how do you know you're not one of these people? Like, how do you know that you're not one of these people who you have every intention of living for God, doing good, you're a good person, okay? And you're like, I'm going to heaven because I'm so good. But it's not the priority in your life. And what we end up doing is we end up placing all these things in our life above God. So for maybe even most of us in here, I don't know. Like, we're into God. I mean, you're here to church, all right? Or somebody drug you to church, and so maybe you don't count. But probably most people in here, all right, you're here. And so, like, God is, like, somewhere in your priorities, you know? Like he's, like, there, maybe average priority or whatever, right? But you have all these other things going on in your life that you place above God. And then you make excuses as to why it's all okay. We all do this to a certain extent, including myself. All right, none of us are perfect. We're all messed up. And so here, this is just what we do. I mean, just think about it. What things do you put before God? All right, there's a bunch of them. Now you can start listing them off in your head, like, well, I try not. I mean, it's not like your intention, maybe, but what things do you end up putting before God? It just kind of happens that way. Right? Like, there's a bunch of it. There's a bunch of things. Like, think about it. What excuses do you give God for not investing more in your relationship with him? There's a bunch of stuff. It's all we got. We got this. We got that. All right, what excuses do you give God for not spending more time with him? We got all these things. Like, I'll get to that, God, but I'll get to that then, you know, whenever then is. Or, yeah, God, I plan on going, but I got more important things to do, like, right now. Like, that's what a lot of us do. We kind of put it off. We keep pushing it off. We're like, God, you know, I intend to grow my relationship with you. I intend to read the Bible once. I intend to go through all this stuff. I intend to pray more. I intend to be a better person for you, all right? But I just got this. Like we have all these things in our life. Like, maybe it's like our career or our family or a specific relationship that we're like, yeah, I got this thing, God. I don't want you in this thing. Like, my career, I got this. I don't need you. You just stay over there and I'll come get you when I need you. Like, that's how we view God. That's how we treat him. But the problem is, right, the party or living for God is not our priority. Just like the party in the story is not their priority, right? They got other things going on. If you notice, it ain't even bad stuff, right? Like, it's not bad stuff, right? Usually for us, probably most of us in here, right? It's good stuff that we place ahead of God, right? Like, I don't think there's anybody in this room, at least, who's like, yeah, I'd love to work on my relationship with God, but I really got a drug deal to make, okay? And I got a dogfighting ring to take care of, and I got to go burn some tires in my backyard this afternoon, or I got a Michigan game to watch. You know, like, all the worst things you could do in one afternoon, okay? We're not, you know, that's not the stuff that we usually put in front of God. We're not distracted by bad stuff, just like these guys in the story. What these guys are doing, I mean, they're buying and selling property. Is that wrong? No. All right, they're making business transactions. Is that okay? Yeah. All right, they're the wife made plans. Is that fine? Yeah, that's totally cool. But what they're doing here, the problem is they're placing far lesser things in front of the invitation. That's the problem. That's why we miss church so much. That's why we don't read God's word, right, the Bible. That's why we don't pray much. Or when we do pray, it's always to like get us out of something that we got ourselves in. Right? That's why we don't live the way that God tells us to live. Right? Why? Because our career is the priority in our life. God is lower. All right, because our relationship is the priority in our life, and God is lower. I mean, there's good stuff. Our family is the priority in our life. God is lower. Our kids are the priority in our life. God is lower. Our kids' sports are the priority in our life, and God is lower. Working out is a priority in our life. God is lower. It's all these things. These are the things that we do, and Jesus is saying, that's a problem. You're missing it. We place God on the back burner, and we like God, we're cool with God, we like the whole idea of God, and we like the idea of him saving us, like that's all cool, all right? But we just don't take him that serious. And then what's crazy about it is we assume we're good with him. We don't take God serious, we're like, hey, just be happy, God, that you're in the list of priorities. Like, you might not be top, but you're like in there. And then we think we're good with him, and it's like, why? Why do you think you're good with him? Why do you think you're in good standing with God? See, to these guys who are invited, the party sounds pretty good. Like, it just does. They've already accepted the invite, but when the time came, it just wasn't that important to them. And so the servant reports back to the master, and it's like, what's the master going to do? It says, then in anger, see, we don't like that word, right? Because we're like, well, the master can't be angry. Like, that's messed up. Or we think God can't be angry. See, this bothers the master. Again, and in the story, God, the master represents God here. Some of us, it's just hard for us to understand. But here's this guy who's trying to throw a party, and everybody says that they are coming at the first invite, and they all RSVP, they all do the stuff, and the master gets everything ready, he puts in all the work, and now when the time for the party comes, all right, they all make excuses, and they all bail. And so it angers him. They've rejected him. And so the master of the house tells the servant, he's like, all right, this party is going on regardless. Like, we got everything ready. And he says, I want you to go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the city, and I want you to bring in here the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. Bring in everybody. See, what the master is saying is he's saying, hey, the party is going on with or without them. And so he tells the servant, go find anyone that you can. I want this place full. All right, I want as many people that will come to come. And so the master, the servant said, he says, all right, we're back. Okay, well, what you ordered has been done. All right, we did it. We invited as many people as we can, and there is still room. What do we do? Right, we've invited everybody, and not everybody has come. Not everybody has accepted the invitation, even now. And he's like, well, then I want you to try it again. He says, go again out into the highways and the hedges, even farther out, and make them come. He's saying, do whatever you possibly can and try to convince them to come to my party. I want you to do whatever you possibly can to kind of convince them, all right, to attend, get them here. So that my house may be filled. For I tell you that not one of those people who were invited, that rejected me, that now are like, nah, I'm not going to that party, will enjoy my party. See, that's the bad news. See, here's Jesus. He's sitting at the table with these religious people. And for us, picture it like pastors and priests, okay? All right, like he's with a bunch of pastors, a bunch of priests, and maybe a music guy or two, okay? All right, he's there. And all these people, they think they're good. Like they all think that they are good to go. They follow the rules, they do all the good stuff. They're like, you know, they're leaders in their community. Everybody looks up to them. And Jesus is like, no, you guys are missing it. It's not about doing a bunch of good stuff. It's about your hearts, and I can see your heart, and your heart is ugly. See, that's the bad news. The bad news is that many, that's the word that he uses, many. He says many will turn down the invitation. And these many are good people. But the good news is all are invited. See, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. By the way, in the story, you know who we are? We are the poor, the lame, the maimed, and the blind. All right, that's who we are. All right, we are the jacked up people. We are messed up, jacked up, horrible, terrible people. That's who we are. And he has seen our thoughts, and he has seen how ugly we are on the inside. And for some reason, I don't understand it. Like, I don't get it. I can't even fathom why. But for some reason, he looks at us, and he still says, but I want you. I want you here. And he begs us to come to his party, in the sense of he's begging us to come to heaven. And he actually describes this a few verses later. All right. In the next chapter, he says, what man among you, he asks him this question. He says, what man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 sheep in the open field where they're safe and go after the lost one until he finds it? Now, everybody who is listening to this question within that culture, this was an easy question. I mean, they're like, okay, I know the answer to this one. All right. They would all say the same thing. Everybody there would say, yeah, yeah, you lose a sheep, you go looking for it. Like, that's what you do. Now, for us, in our culture, I don't know if you're like me, it's kind of hard for us to relate. Like, for me, I'm like, so, you know, you got 100 sheep, you lose one, who cares? You still got 99. That sounds like a pretty good number to me. You know, like, you got so many, who cares about one little sheep? And so for us, because of that, let's try to put this in maybe some more intense terms. All right, think about this in terms of credit cards and children, okay? Can you do that? All right, in the sense of when you lose something of value to you, you don't make yourself feel better by focusing on what is unlost. Does that make sense? All right, when you lose something that's valuable to you, you don't focus on what, oh, well, I have all this. Like for you, you know, when we lose something of value, it's not like, you know, I don't know where my credit card and my four-year-old is, but that's okay because I have my six-year-old and an old gift card that I have in the back of my wallet, so I'm good. You get what I'm saying? Like, we don't think that way. See, when we lose something of value, we focus on what's lost, not on what we have. And so everybody here listening, they're all like, yeah, you go looking for the lost valuable thing. We get it, Jesus, we know that. And so Jesus, he says, right. And when you find it, he says, when that sheep has been found, that shepherd will joyfully put that sheep on his shoulders. And coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together saying, hey, rejoice, like come celebrate with me. Come party with me is what he's saying with me because I have found my lost sheep. I got it. It's here. Everything's good. All right, now it's time for me to party it up. And then Jesus interprets his own story. He says, this is what this means, or this is how this story connects. He says, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, meaning who accepts the invitation, than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. See, here's the deal. If you're here today and you don't know what to think about Jesus, I mean, we get people like this all the time. I mean, we got people in this room who are like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not convinced yet, but I'm just trying to kind of figure things out. Like, if you're kicking the tires on the whole Jesus thing, like, if you're just not sure, all right, we are so glad that you're here because this is where you need to be because there are answers to your questions. All right, you are on the right track. Keep coming and keep listening. But here's the deal. He's calling you. The invite has been sent out. You have been invited. Like, you think you're here on accident? Like, you think you're here by your own doing? No, he got you here today, not just in this place today. He got you to this point in life. There's a whole bunch of things that we can't control about our life, and he got you specifically here today for a reason. And he's begging you to come to his party. See, what he's saying here is if that's you, you haven't, you know, this idea that if you haven't given your life over to Jesus yet, he's saying, you are the priority to God over me. Like for me, I'm in. I already know that, okay? Like I've been invited to the party. I've accepted my invitation. I remember the moment I accepted that invitation. And so I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I am locked in. I am good to go. And it's not about my good stuff because my good stuff is not good, okay? It's not about my good stuff outweighs my bad because my bad stuff way outweighs my good. That's just reality of looking at it, all right? I know that I'm in because I can trust in his promise that if I surrender my life to him, that he paid for everything I've ever done wrong. He took care of it. Like, it is gone, obliterated. It's, you know, never, it's out of here. And so because of that, I can put my trust in that, and I know that I'm locked in, man. All right, I am good to go. But you, if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, you haven't made that decision on Jesus yet. I mean, Jesus, this ain't me. Jesus is saying, you're not going to heaven. At least not at this moment. Not yet. Because you're the one turning down the invitation. Like, that's you. And my guess is that you got more important things going on in your life right now, at least in your mind. Like, you're the one here in the story that's making the excuses, saying why you can't come. Like these guys is you. I'm just saying it. It's you. But if you give your life over to him, and if you surrender to Jesus, and I think that's the best word. It's the word surrender. You just surrender to him. It's like, I give up doing a bunch of good stuff. I give up earning my way myself. And I'm just trusting in what you did for me. That's, by the way, that's what we call the gospel. Gospel is a super churchy word. It just means good news. That's what it means. All right, it's the good news that God created us, made us perfect. Everything was good, but he also gave us the choice to do life his way or our way, to choose to have a relationship with him or not. And every single one of us, we are all in the same boat. We're all equal here in the fact that we have all rebelled against God. We rebel against God on a daily basis. I mean, all the time, our thoughts are evil. Like, everything about us is messed up. We are so selfish. We are all about ourselves. And for some reason, I don't understand it. Like I said, I don't get it. I cannot fathom why he loves us so much. I know that's why he did this, but he came down 2,000 years ago. He lived a perfect life. He wrapped himself in a human body, came down. We ended up putting him to death in the worst way. And when he died, the Bible tells us that God poured out his wrath on himself, his righteous wrath that each and every one of us, including myself, definitely myself, deserve. Well, why couldn't he just forgive me? I don't understand. Well, the reason why he can't just forgive and forget is because he is a perfectly righteous judge, 100% righteous. And a perfectly righteous judge has to punish wrong. That's what a righteous judge does. It's no different. And so it had to be paid for. Our sin had to be paid for. But he created a way. He came down and he paid for it himself. And now he offers that to you, saying, hey, I took care of it. I want to give this to you. I want you at my party. It's a decision that each and every one of us have to make. He wants that relationship with us. And if you decide to give your life to him, Jesus is like, you got to understand what heaven is like. It's a party. and they get that party started early in heaven. They turn up the music, they break out the dance floor, they throw the steaks on the grill, and ate cereal. It's way better, okay? All right? He's saying they get that party started. Why? Because all of heaven is so pumped that you finally accepted the invitation, that you finally stopped with the excuses, that you have surrendered your life to him. But it's up to you. It's your decision. I can't make it for you. I wish I could. I would. But I can't. Your spouse can't make it for you. Your mom can't. Your grandma who took you to church when you were little. They can't make that decision for you. It's only you. You just got to surrender. You got to give your life to him. It's super simple. Right? He doesn't make it complicated. Thank goodness, because we'd screw that up, right? Well, all he says is you just got to go to him. You don't even have to talk out loud. He knows your every thought. You just got to think it. You got to talk to him. We're just saying, hey, God, I believe that you came down and you died for me. Like, I don't understand everything. But I believe that somehow that counted for me. And I want you in my life. That's it. There's a bunch of stuff that happens in the moment. God moves in. He doesn't let you go. You are locked into the party forever. You should do it. You should do that today. Because he doesn't owe you tomorrow. He doesn't guarantee you Monday morning. All right? You should do that before you leave the building. All right? You're not guaranteed to make it home today. All right? You should do it during this next song. Don't even listen to the next song. Have you never done that before? All right? Don't listen to the next song. Don't pay attention to it. You just talk to God in your head. You communicate that to him and take care of that here today. It's the most important decision you could ever make in your entire life. Let's pray. God, we thank you for somehow loving us so much that you came and you sacrificed yourself. Like what we looked at last week, you emptied yourself of your glory voluntarily for us. And you invite us all to your party. You invite us all to heaven. You want us there. You keep trying, you keep trying, you keep trying. You want heaven full. But it's a decision that each and every one of us have to make. God, we ask that you would help us to find you. If there's anybody in this room, which I'm sure there are, who don't have a relationship with you, that they would begin that today. And Lord, we thank you for loving us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.